So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is Louisa in the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3, on page 1. At the bottom of the page, volume 34, 628, 1937. My beloved Jesus, resuming his speaking, told me, "My daughter, do not marvel because of what I have told you. Rather, I shall tell you more surprising things yet, but how much I would want that everyone would listen in order to make everyone decide to live in my most holy divine will." So here, this is 1937. She's got one more year of writing. She's on volume 34. Two more volumes. She's got one more year. And what you see is he's talking to Louisa. He says, "Don't marvel at what I have told you." And this is what happens with us. As we read what Jesus tells Louisa, what happens is we are astonished. It doesn't seem, if this is so important to Jesus, why did he wait until now to tell us this? And the whole reason is because of Louisa. The whole reason is he gave this gift to Louisa Picaretta. So like with the Franciscans, they couldn't be Franciscans without St. Francis. You couldn't be a Dominican without St. Dominic. You couldn't be a Benedictine without St. Benedict. And now to have this gift of the divine will, it's given to the one, Louisa Picaretta, who possesses this gift. And so Jesus is saying to us, don't marvel at what I've told you. And then he says this, "I will tell you even more surprising things yet to come. I'm going to tell you the main thing that I want is that everyone would listen to what I am saying. I, the Lord God Almighty," Jesus as the Word, "to make everyone then decide to live in my most holy divine will." So one of the things we just read, what was it, a couple weeks ago, about every truth is a door to the kingdom. Every truth is a promise that God gives to us. And so as you read, Jesus says that there's an angel at the door who will open the door for you. Okay? Now it's up to us how much we want to enter into this life. Every promise, every truth is a new door. So when you look at a crystal, when you look at a cut stone, a diamond, each cut has a reflection of the light. And that's us. We are in the will of God. We are one with God, as in which we, through holy baptism, we are in God's image, and now with this gift we enter into God's likeness. So you think of the reflection of that crystal. It's usually a rainbow type of a reflection. And so as you enter into the room, enter this truth to learn it, to study it, what happens at that point is it's like going through the colors, the hues, the tones of that light. First, it's like if you want to say the purple, and then you go into the blues, into the greens, into the yellows, into back into the reds, the oranges into the reds. And it depends on how much we want this by reading and by studying. Like Jesus keeps on telling us, it's 30, 60, or 100 fold. I will give to you what you want. And our desire is to go back to Jesus. And what does he want? And it's very clear what he says. He says, don't be surprised what I'm telling you. He says, but I want everyone to hear this. I want everyone to make that decision to live in my most holy divine will. This is what Adam lost. Adam lost the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image, and now Jesus is asking us to enter into his likeness. Then that means to do what God does. That's why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? This is what he's showing us in the divine will. Jesus never flew in a plane. We can fly in a plane. And therefore, we can say to Jesus, you know, fly in my flying, you know, gaze in my gazing, you know, at a certain altitude, you know. He never left Israel. His body didn't leave. It was there. And now we can do things that Jesus says even greater than he. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, I want you to enter into my life. And to live in the divine will means to have Jesus gazing in your gazing, Jesus listening in your listening, Jesus speaking in your speaking. He says our senses were made for God. And so what we do, and this is the decision to live in the divine will, is we say, I want to possess this gift so I can give it to you, Lord. It's not just to be in a personal relationship with Jesus, but an intimate relationship with Jesus. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for us to enter into his life, the new Adam. He's asking us to enter into his mother's life, the new Eve. And the only one that has done this at this point is Louisa. So he's giving us Louisa, and he says, I'm going to show you things, more surprising things yet to come. And he says very clearly, but I want that everyone would listen. So he's wanting us to read this, to study this, to put this into practice, to learn about these truths, learn about these promises, to enter into that door through the holy angel, so that the hues, the tones that are there in this new era that Jesus wants it to begin now, we can enter into this. And this is what God is looking for. So he says this, listen, how consoling, how beautiful it is, what my love pushes me, Jesus, to tell you, Louisa. So the consoling and the beauty, the consolation and the beauty that God wants to give us is through Louisa. What he has given to Louisa is what we're getting ready for on Pentecost. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and will remind you of everything that I have said. That's this great gift of the divine will that, see, in the divine will, there's no time or space. So even though Louisa was not yet born, God had this planned to reveal the era of sanctification, which is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which has to come to the earth. He says it's the three divine decrees, the divine decree of creation, which has happened, the divine decree of redemption, which has happened, and now the divine decree of sanctification. And so the whole reason why we're here is to get ready for this new era, to get ready to begin to live this abundant life that Jesus says he wants us to possess. So he says, it's consoling to read. It's beautiful to read what Jesus' divine love has pushed him to reveal to Louisa. And now he's revealing it to us. And he's asking us, how much do we want this? He says, you can have a little or you can have it all. What do you want? He says to us. He keeps on saying this to Louisa. How much do you want this? And so therefore, the 30, 60, or 100-fold, when we say, I want 100% of this, I want to know exactly what you taught Louisa, I want to put into practice what you taught Louisa, God says, good. He says, I'll give this to you. Louisa has done everything. He says, so she's the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will, and now God wants to give this to us. So again, it's very, very clear. When you listen to the Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to the Archbishop, he's very clear. He says, the only one who can fulfill the Our Father, the only one whose role is to help bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, is this human. It's Louisa. When you think about it, Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God. Adam wasn't the mother of God. But since he fell from such a great height, It took the Son of God to come to earth to redeem. It took Mary to come to earth as the new Eve to stand at the foot of the cross to co-redeem with Christ. And so this is now God is revealing to us, this is what he's asking us. So he says, so much is my divine love that I, God, feel the need of telling you where we, triune God, reach for the soul, the one, Louisa, who lives in our divine will. So Jesus and Mary possess the divine will. Jesus by nature, Our Lady by grace. And now what Jesus is saying, he says, it's so great, my love is so great, that I, God, feel that this divine need of telling you, Louisa, that you can put down on paper, put in the book of heaven, what we, triune God, have done. We've reached for you, Louisa, the one who lives in our divine will. So what God is going to do, bring about, is something that's magnificent. It's you listen to Our Lady of Revelation, which she said, the approved apparition in Rome, when she says, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer's reign. When you listen to Our Lady of Akita, she says that there will be, you know, a great chastisement if we do not turn back to God. You listen to Our Lady of Fatima. She says that in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Our Lady is getting us ready for Christ. What Jesus told Saint Faustina is very clear. He says, my final devotion that I'm giving to my church is divine mercy. And we received divine mercy in the year 2000 from Pope Saint John Paul II. So God's getting everything ready. And now with Our Lady of America, Our Lady says, if I'm processed in the Basilica, which the bishops are working on right now, if I'm processed into the Basilica, the United States will be saved and the world will be saved. And this is like a new Nineveh that's going to take place. As Jonah preached 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. And they turned and they repented with sackcloth and ashes. All that Our Lady asks the bishops to do is to process in the Basilica. And then everything will be saved. She said to Sister Mildred, she said, Sister Mary Ephraim, she said to her, this is my last resort to mankind. So we know we're on this, we know everything is at hand. Our Lord is expecting a great deal from us. He's given us the book of heaven. And he is expecting us to begin to live this. This is what we see when we read, when we study. It's a new beginning for mankind. How glorious is this, that our God is showing us, leading us, guiding us. And it seems like everything's falling apart. Our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, our church, our nation. Everything seems to be crumbling. But this is good. God is in charge. God is going to win. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is going to, she's going to triumph. So all this stuff that's happening, this is a really glorious time. So Jesus is saying, my love is so great that I have to tell you where the triune God is pointing to, and that's to Louisa. And then he says this, now you must know, and this is a command from Jesus, you must know this. And that's why the book You Must Know is so important to read. It's every time Jesus tells us, you have to know this. To understand the divine will, you have to recognize these truths. So he says that as the soul, that's Louisa first, and us linked to Louisa, as the soul decides repeatedly and firmly to live no longer of her human will, but of our holy divine will, her name becomes written in heaven with indelible characters of divine light. And Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa become enrolled in the celestial militia as an heiress and daughter of the kingdom of my divine will. So again, we are at war. You have to understand this. It's the war over our soul, either to go to heaven or to go to hell. And Jesus is asking us to be part of this divine militia, to be in the army of God. And again, the great thing about the army of God is it's invincible. There's nothing that can harm this army of God. All the demons combined cannot conquer one angel linked to God. All the demons combined are so faulted. They're such a failure. They're such deplorables that they cannot defeat what God is going to do. So God is asking us to be part of this militia. Now, when you think about a militia, the first thing that should come to mind is Saint Joan of Arc. She heard the voice of God, and she was faithful to the voice of God, and she was killed by the church. Again, it was a bishop in the church. It's the same thing for us. We want to listen to what God is saying, and again, there's nobody has a complete understanding of God speaking. This has to come through the church, and this is why, under the guidance of Archbishop Echeri, under the guidance of Father Abucci, under the guidance of the new postulator, the new archbishop, they're asking us to read and to study and to put this into practice, to listen to what Jesus is saying. It's a new beginning that's coming. And so he says, you have to know this. As we decide with Louisa, repeatedly and firmly to live no more of our human will. Okay, so we use our free will to choose. I don't want to live in my human will any longer. So what is our human will? Our human will is what we say when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live this life anymore. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these near occasions of sin so that I can be faithful and obedient to you, Lord. So this human will is miserable. The human will is sinful, Jesus tells Louisa. So he says, use your free will to choose to no longer live in your human will, but in God's holy divine will, the way Jesus lived, the way Mary lived. So this is what's happening. God is asking us to let go of the confusion, the frustration, the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. And he's asking us to repeatedly decide to no longer live in our human will, repeatedly decide to live in God's holy divine will, using our free will to choose. You can't lose your free will. But you don't want to live in your human misery anymore. You don't want to live in your human will anymore. So Jesus has given us this option. Now, the saints did the will of God. They were doing the will of God. And what Jesus teaches Louisa is how to live in the will of God, which is far different than doing the will of God. As he teaches. So he says, this is what's going to happen to Louisa. Her name becomes written in heaven with indelible characters of divine light. And the same thing for us. God has finally found the souls who want to live the life that Adam lost. That's a preternatural life. A life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and mortality. God is asking us to want that life. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. It's not to have a holy life, a saintly life, a good life, but beyond that, to have a divine life. And this is why every day at Holy Mass, the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice and says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. This is what God wants. So once we decide repeatedly and firmly, once our names are written with indelible characters of divine light, then, Jesus says, he says, you have to know this, then you become enrolled in the celestial militia. You become an heiress, an heir of the a daughter, son and daughter of the kingdom of the divine will. That's what God's waiting for. You know, when you look at everything that's happening in the world with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners, you see that something is missing. Something is lacking. And what is it? And Jesus is showing what it is. It's to live in His holy divine will. So He's going to teach us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. Jesus begins to teach us how to do this. So He says, but this is not enough of our divine love. It's not enough for our divine love. God is infinite, you know, and what He wants to do is, this shows us a glimpse of heaven. Heaven isn't static. Heaven, the one day in heaven is never the same as the next day. The next day is more beautiful. The day after that is more spectacular. Because that's heaven. Heaven isn't like Earth, where you get up every morning. You saw that movie with the Hog Day. What is it called? Groundhog Day. Yeah, it's not the same. Heaven is more spectacular. That's why heaven is doubled in joy, doubled in glory, doubled in love. Every second. It's more beautiful. It's more beautiful. Why? Because that's God. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas says, when we get to heaven, we'll be in the beatific vision. It will be in the awe of God. It's God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect that for all eternity, we will be in awe of how magnificent it is. And that's why he says to Louisa right at the very beginning, don't be surprised. Don't marvel at what I'm telling you. I've got so much more to tell you. As you enter into this, as you get deeper and deeper into the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, what happens is you become mesmerized of how beautiful and how holy, how perfect our God is. So he says, but this is not enough. He says, our divine love, we confirm Louisa in good. They confirm Louisa in God in a way that Louisa shall feel such horror for every least sin. Okay, that means, now think about what your human will is. Well, your human will is, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. We don't want that life. I mean, that's why we go to confession. We don't want to live this life any longer. We want to live this life, what Jesus is talking about. Horror for every least sin. And Jesus says, confirming Louisa in God, in good, in such a way that she shall not be capable anymore of failing, of falling. Capable. Louisa is not capable to fall into sin again. Now that's heaven. That's heaven. Do you see why Our Lady says time has now come to an end? The time of the evil one is coming to an end. Jesus is getting ready for us for this abundant life. So what does that mean? Right now he's asking us, he's pleading with us to no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So we got to work at this. And how do we work at this? It's by saying fiat. Okay, the fiat lux, let there be light. The first fiat was all creation began with God saying one word, fiat. Let there be light. And everything began. And then with Our Lady's fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Then the incarnation, God became man, took place. And now with the fiat voluntas tua, which Jesus is teaching Louisa, teaching us, it's to enter into, may your kingdom reign in me on earth as the saints in heaven possess you. So as God breathed into the dust his image and likeness, and what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God, Adam. Now Jesus is saying, we pray this in the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth in this dust. Breathe into me this ruah of God, this breath of God. Why? so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth in this dust as it is in heaven. Jesus said it very clearly. The kingdom of God is within you. So he's saying to us, do you want this gift? And when we say yes, he says, then don't worry anymore. We've got Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion given to the church before Jesus returns. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he looks at us and he says, are you still worried about anything? Are you still anxious? Are you afraid of anything? And he says very clearly, stop it. You know, it's to worry says to God, you are not a good God. I have to worry about this because I don't trust you. And that's a great insult to God. So again, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and even sin, we have to stop. And this is what Jesus says is going to happen. He says it very, very clearly. You will not be capable of falling into sin again. Do you believe that? Do you understand what this gift is about? It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. They were incapable of sin. Now, when somebody says to me, well, I'm living in the divine will, I say what Father Bucci says, you're just fooling yourself. Nobody's living in the divine will yet. So Jesus says, how much do you want this? And that therefore, this goes back to where we're saying, where Jesus is saying he's waiting for us to repeatedly and firmly deciding to live not of our human will anymore, but in God's holy divine will. It's got to be constant. It's not wishful thinking. You've got to say it's a firm purpose of amendment. This is what you do when you go to confession. A firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. That means it must be eliminated from your life. And with this gift, no longer wanting your human will, but living in God's holy divine will, this is so magnificent. It is so magnificent. So he says, listen to this. It gets better. Not only this, but she shall remain confirmed in the goods, confirmed in God, confirmed in divine love, confirmed in divine sanctity of God, of her Creator. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. God is asking us to enter into, to share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water under the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Again, it's very important that you listen to what Jesus is saying. You can scoff at it. Most people do. They did that when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, this is a hard saying. And all of them, it says, everyone left Jesus and he turned to his apostles and he says, are you too going to leave me? And they said, where can we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Where can we go? We believe that you are the Messiah, the King. And this is what's happening here. This is what it means to be confirmed in the goods, confirmed in divine love, divine sanctity of God. It's not just to be about being good and holy and saintly. Good and holy and saintly, you go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do. Scripture says the good man sins 7 times a day. That's minimal. We're every time we worry, it's a sin. We're feeding the demon of worry. Every time we're afraid, we're feeding the demon of fear. We're keeping it alive. And that's why Jesus says, he says, does worry add one moment to your life? He says, of course it does. And then he says, then stop it. And that's what we have to be. We have to hear what Jesus is saying to us because he wants to change us. He says, it's very, very clear. He doesn't want us to continue to live a miserable human existence. We're supposed to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus says, I want to give you my joy that your joy may be complete. It's not about being good. It's about entering into the sanctity of sanctities. That's what God wants. So we have to see, we're the only ones that can stop this. We can stop God by our doubt, by our worry, by our fear. As soon as there's doubt, God says, fine, and he backs away. He says, Our Lady did not doubt. She said, when the angel said, you will be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I don't know man. How can this happen? I want to know how to do this. There was no doubt. Whereas Zechariah, when they said, you're going to be the father of John the Baptist, he goes, yeah, sure I am. And the angel was furious. For this reason, you'll be mute. You don't believe. You don't trust what God is going to do. More so now than ever before. He saved the best for last. Luisa is the best. Luisa's a human. Yeah, she possesses, Jesus, this is what Jesus teaches. She possesses what Adam lost. And Jesus said this, that he said, if Adam didn't sin, he would have taught Adam the book of heaven. He would have taught him what he's taught Luisa. So which means Luisa has more than Adam. That's why we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. God is going to give more now than ever was possible because of Adam's failure. So what's happening here is really important. Not only this, but she shall remain confirmed in good, in God. Confirmed in divine love. That's the Holy Spirit. Confirmed in divine sanctity. That's the rule of God, the breath of God. Of her Creator. She shall be invested by the prerogative and reclaimed part. She shall no longer be looked as exiled. Okay. So she shall no longer be looked as exiled. What does that mean? She's part of heaven. Adam was the angel with a flaming sword said, leave. If you eat of the tree of life, you'll be like this forever. So out of God's love for mankind, he was banished from heaven, exiled from heaven. With Luisa, there's no more exile. See this, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he shed every drop of his blood? So that we can live like this? You would say then God didn't know what he was doing. The whole reason Jesus tells Luisa for redemption was to get us ready for sanctification. That's the whole reason for redemption. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you the how and the way this is going to be done. And it's found in the book of heaven. It's found as you read, as you study. So again, she's reinvested. She is made for heaven. She's made for God. She's reclaimed by God. She shall no longer be looked as exiled. She belongs to heaven now. That's what God wants for us. So as you enter into this gift, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? That's heaven. Jesus says, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, are anticipating heaven. So we begin to live this yes, this fiat. We begin to live this life that God has given to Luisa. And therefore, and if she shall remain on earth, she shall be as an officiating of the celestial militia. Okay, so again, going back to this army, this is what God wants. He wants us to begin to live fighting for the glory of God. And he says the weapons are not weapons of blood. He says they're weapons of love. Why? That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. It's not weapons of war. It's not weapons of blood. Jesus said to Louisa that he is now going to wage war against mankind, but it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And we, with Christ, are waging this war. So with confirmation, we become soldiers of Christ. But with confirmation, we begin to live a life that it's a life of zeal that the apostles had, living that new way. And when you read the Acts of the Apostles, it's the apostles and the presbyters. It's the apostles and the priests, the Jewish priesthood. They all, most of them came over. And this is why Jesus said with Talmud, he says, your father is not my father. You don't know my father. If you had read what Moses said, you would believe in me, Jesus said. And then he says, your father is the devil. Now, those that read the Torah, who entered into what the Torah really says, believe in Jesus Christ. And how do we know this? When the apostles and the presbyters, the apostles and the priests of the faith of Israel, they believed. And when was the Talmud written? The Talmud was written when the Jews were captured in Babylon. And the Jews were saying to the rabbis, we don't have the temple anymore. How do we live here in this community? How do we live this life? And that's what they wrote down. This is how you live. This is how you compromise your faith, by living with the pagans. And see, did you see what happened with the Talmud? And then after Jesus came, those that believed in Jesus became Christians. It was to all Jews. And those that hated Jesus, they were the rabbis who said, don't follow the man, that man. They wouldn't even say his name. Yet when you read the Old Testament, when you read the Torah, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's to prepare the world for Christ. And now Jesus is saying, now I'm going to prepare my church for the universal life, the Catholic life. The universal life is what Adam lost. And now I want you to begin to live this abundant life. So that's what's coming. That's the thing that's so astonishing. Oh dear, there's Raymond. God is good. So it's again. So we are called by Jesus to be officials. This is the fun part. Not just to be soldiers, but with Louisa, it's officiating of the celestial militia. We are going to be working as Joan of Arc worked. Look what Joan of Arc did. Look at her life. What an amazing life. She carried the banner of Jesus and Mary. Jesus says to Louisa, you carry the banner of the divine will. There's a great similarity of what Jesus and Mary expected of Joan of Arc, and what Jesus and Mary expecting of Louisa. It's a new beginning. What's coming is going to be so wonderful, so glorious. And we are the soldiers for Christ, with the love of Christ, with the love of Jesus, with the love of Mary, through Louisa, through little Louisa. So, okay, so we are not exiles as well. Okay, Louisa shall have all the goods at her disposal. Louisa shall have God at her disposal. Now, how can you say that? Well, as Catholics, we understand this. When the priest stands at the altar and says, this is my body, God obeys. When the priest in confession says, I absolve you of all your sins, God obeys. So as Catholics, we understand God is sharing it with us his divinity. You know, he says he wants us to use our senses to see God, to smell God, to taste God, to touch God. to hear God. And as Catholics, we see Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Our senses are being purified. We hear Jesus speaking to us in the gospel. We smell the odor of sanctity with the incense. We taste Jesus when we receive him as our Eucharist. Where two or three are gathered, when you hold hands, where two or three are gathered, Jesus said, I am there. You feel Jesus there. He's there, he said. So what's happening is she, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa will have all the goods at her disposition. So when we pray, it's the command prayer. I mean, learn the command prayer. If you haven't, it's August, I think, of 2014. We focused on that command prayer. Where does this come from? Well, it's basically what Jesus said to Peter. When Peter said, if you are the Messiah, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Take my prayer and make it your command. And he said, come. Peter did a divine thing. People do not walk on water. Peter did, though, because Jesus said, I will do it. So we learn that with this command prayer is Jesus doing. So in our rounds, when we do our rounds throughout the day, it's Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, I want you to look through my eyes. I want you to hear in my hearing. I want you to dance in my dancing. I want you to swim in my swimming. Whatever you're doing, I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. And Jesus says, I take you at your word. Jesus is doing this. So learn the command prayer. Learn how to pray the rounds. Jesus tells Louisa, this is how he prayed. This is how his mother prayed. Learn to pray the rounds. He taught from volume 16 to volume 36, 20 straight volumes. Pray the rounds. Those are Jesus' words. So as we pray the rounds, what happens? We become peaceful. We become joyful. We become happy. Why? It's the way Jesus prayed. It's not the prayers of St. Ignatius. It's not the prayers of St. Teresa. It's not the prayers of St. Francis, which are good prayers, holy prayers, saintly prayers. Jesus says, I want you to pray the way I prayed. Mary says, I will teach you powerful prayers. Powerful prayers. Why? This is the way she prayed. This is the way Adam prayed before the fall. So again, what God is getting us ready, he's getting us ready to venture into this new beginning. And it's not, he says, I don't want you to wait until you die to understand what resurrection is. He says, resurrection begins before you die. True resurrection begins before you die. To be risen in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, this is what we're praying for on Sunday, is we want this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want this. We want to participate in this. She shall be able to say, his divine will being mine. What is of God is mine. What is mine is God's. What is God's is mine. Louisa said that. Why? Jesus said, I want to hear this from you. I want to hear this from my children. I don't want separate wills. I want my holy divine will to reign in all my children. You see families with each person having a different will. The families struggle. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And there's no one will. And Jesus says, in the kingdom, we will all have his will, his holy will. And that's why we can say, it's just what Louisa says, my will is his will is mine. We have one will together. Rather, she shall feel herself possessor of her God. God is with us. We are with God. Think about this. You're that drop of water into that ocean, that divine ocean of love. We're just a drop. We're nothing compared to God. He says, enter into my life. be that drop of water into the infinite ocean. And that means that everything in the ocean belongs to you now, because you're part of the ocean. When we're separate from God, we're miserable. When we're sinning, we're miserable. When we're with God, we're peace. That's why when you make a good confession, you're happy. You're in His will at that point. You've surrendered. You're docile. You're submissive. Those are words that are hated today. God wants us to enter into this life, this abundant life. He really wants us to begin to live this. And He is expecting great things from us. He really is. He's expecting us to begin to live an abundant life. An abundant life. He's expecting us to learn the command prayer. He's expecting us to begin to live one with Him, fused with Him in His holy divine will. And again, the only way that you can do this is through Louisa. She possesses it. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. God is looking at us with great hope. He wants this done yesterday. And He's saying, will you do this as soon, the sooner the better? Because once we enter into this, the kingdom is here. And the devil's gone. The devil has been banished from heaven. When the kingdom of God comes on earth, as it is in heaven, the devil will be banished from earth as well. He's depending on us to be linking ourselves with Louisa so that the kingdom can be established. He needs us to, again, He's not going to force us to do this. You can have it, like He said, 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, I will give you. We have to want what He wants, and that's the fiat that God is asking us to live. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.